I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about the satisfactions and challenges of being a big brother or big sister. We're going to talk about how the big brother, big sister system works and discuss ways that people can get involved. My guests will be Darcy Palmer-Schultz, the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Indiana, WFYI reporter and Big Brother Sam Clement, and Jaden Holzclaw, Sam's 16-year-old little brother. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can find us at No Limits WFYI on Facebook or at WFYI on Twitter. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th state university. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu. And by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits and Happy New Year. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about Big Brothers, Big Sisters today on No Limits. And if you would like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Darcy Palmer-Schultz, who is the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Indiana. Darcy, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here, and I feel a little silly introducing this next guest and welcoming him to the studio since he knows it. It's Sam Clement, who's a WFYI reporter, but also a Big Brother. Sam, welcome.
John, thank you. It's nice to be on the other side of the mic.
Yeah, not be the guy who has to ask the questions. Right. And would you like to, I'll tell you what, I've not done this before, but would you like to introduce your little brother and your guest on the show?
I certainly would. It's 16-year-old Jaden Holzclaw. He's been my little brother for about 3.5 years now.
Well, let's get started here. I'm going to start the conversation first because, Darcy, with you, because Big Brothers Big Sisters, one of those organizations everybody's heard of, but I'm not sure people understand exactly, A, what it does and how the whole system works. Could you walk us through that real quickly?
Absolutely. I think the most important thing with Big Brothers Big Sisters is to always start with what we believe and value as an organization, which is that all children have the inherent potential to succeed and thrive in life. And so to that end, we match mentors like Sam with little brothers and little sisters like Jaden in one-to-one mentoring relationships that are professionally supported by staff throughout the course of the relationship to help them grow and really be thoughtful and intentional in their time together. So it usually starts with great parents and families who care so much about their kids that they want to make sure that they have the best chance to succeed. And so they contact Big Brothers, Big Sisters and ask for us to place a mentor in their children's lives. And to that end, we're very happy to be in the mission of doing that. So we've been around for over 100 years and over 40 years here in Central Indiana, and really look forward to every chance we have to serve kids in our community through this life-changing mission.
How do you find the mentors?
We do anything you can think of, and we're always looking for more. So we partner with many companies, universities, churches, community organizations, any group that is interested in getting involved to look for more mentors. And then we also, one of our best success rates is really using our current volunteers like Sam to help us recruit their friends and contacts and families, coworkers, to get involved because they've had that firsthand experience and know that it, while there are certainly ups and downs in any relationship, that it's a really fulfilling experience. And some of our best advocates come from our current volunteers. So we're out always pounding the pavement. This happens to be National Mentoring Month, so we're really hitting it hard in January to try and recruit more mentors because there are 600 kids in Central Indiana waiting and many more across the state.
What do you look for in a mentor?
What are the
qualifications?
Sure. Most importantly, we look for individuals who believe what we believe about kids and their potential, that they can really succeed, that they can thrive, that they can overcome adversity, that they have great strengths within them. Beyond that, we look for people who can commit to meeting with a little brother or little sister at least twice a month for a year. And that's really the minimum. Research shows that that year mark is really important to producing positive outcomes, and so we stick with that. But also hope that people are open to the idea of you know, sticking together for longer than a year, because we see even more substantial impact beyond that year point. So that time commitment is certainly important, but what we always emphasize is that people really work hard to make that time commitment part of their everyday life. So things that you were going to do anyway, take your little brother or little sister along. Also look for some unique experiences that might be out of your norm, because that will create fun relationship building opportunities. But really want people who will work this into their lives. Agencies across the state have different requirements. We ask for volunteers to be 21 years or older. Mm-hmm. But really, it's about that time.
Who are you not looking for? What people should not consider being big brothers or big sisters?
Sure.
I'm assuming people with, you know, felony records and things
sure.
like that are disqualified.
Well, certainly safety is our foremost priority. So we do have eligibility requirements that are all really put together to look for what will create the longest relationship possible, the safest relationship possible. So we do have either waiting periods for different types of backgrounds, or some things that actually eliminate you from the process. But we do encourage
what
people.
What things would eliminate people from the process?
So any violent crime in their past would eliminate you from the process. That would be an example. Or there might be a delay. So if you've recently had a significant life change, you just had your first child, we might say this might not be the best time. Maybe wait, you know, 6 months, a year, and then see if it's still something that you're interested in and come back to us. Because as with anything, when you start, it's about timing. And so we want to make sure that this is a good time for everybody involved. But we have a really thorough process that involves an application, background checks, reference checks, and an in-person interview, and a series of other pieces, including training, that will help make sure both for us and for you that this is a good fit. So if you're not sure, I would always encourage you just to contact the agency and start the process.
How should people do that? If they want,
sure.
someone here in Central Indiana who wants to get involved, how should they get in touch with you?
I would say it's the easiest thing to do is start by going to our website. There's an easy form to fill out and get started. It's www.bebigforkids.org.
Go ahead and give that again.
Sure.
Surprisingly, people do not sit and listen to this radio show with pencil in hand waiting for Pearl.
I find that hard to believe, but it is www.bebigforkids.org. You can also contact us by phone at 317-921-2201.
Sam, how did you get involved in Big Brothers?
I moved to West Lafayette in 2010. I was working for WBAA, an affiliate of ours here, and I found that I had a lot of time. I didn't know anyone. I'm not from Indiana, and I needed to do something with it to be a little more constructive. And I reached out. Someone had told me about their experiences with Big Brothers, as Darcy said. That's one of the big ways that you find Bigs. It's just through communication with other people that have done it. And I decided to sign up. It was about a month process from start to finish, and eventually got matched with him in August of 2010.
So take me through. When did you start doing it? How long a process before you connected with Jaden?
I think I first put in my application in July of 2010. I had a sit down with our case manager there, Renata, and she took me through the step-by-step process. We went over a couple questionnaires. She did a background check with me. She gauged my interest. What things do I like to do? What things would I be looking for in a little brother age range and those kind of things? And then she took some time to search out basically the best candidate, the best match. And about, like I said, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, she found that match, and it was Jaden.
Should emphasize that Jaden is pointing his thumbs back at himself right now.
The perfect match.
There it is, yeah. So, Jaden, how did you get involved in this whole mix? And I probably should say, if you folks out there want to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, or you can find our contact information on our website.
Well, Sam isn't my first big brother. I've had three before him. My mom signed me up for this because she thought it'd be a good program to join. My first big brother, we were together for 2 years, and then he got married and moved to Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. And then I had one in between him and Sam, but it didn't last very long. And then I got a call saying I could come and meet Sam. And ever since then, it's just been great.
And you guys have been together for 3.5 years. What is it that works about this for you, Jaden? I mean, obviously, you wouldn't keep coming back if they're. And I've been watching you guys. The joshing and all of that is similar to a real brother relationship, in that there seems to be, you know, some mild physical pushing and shoving and all of that kind of stuff that goes on with it too.
We like all the same things. He's a Michigan State fan. I'm a Michigan State fan. We both like basketball.
Good day for you guys.
Great
then.
Day.
Good day.
For still you celebrating.
We both like basketball, even though I'm better. We often eat. We eat all the time, actually. We go to movies. It's just, there's a connection that I can't explain.
Well, is this connection different than the one you had from the other two big brothers, or is it?
Yeah.
Yeah? What makes it different?
He's just been a big impact on my life. And it's just,
What has he taught you? Other than to love Michigan State, apparently.
School is very important. Without it, I can't get nowhere. Keep my grades up and I can be successful in life. I can do what I want.
And you mentioned before Sam, his career is in radio. And you're thinking about that too?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and what is it about radio that appeals to you? You got a good voice for it.
Got the face for it, too.
That's a joke all of us radio say. But go ahead.
I like speaking, talking, getting my point across to people, like influencing their life. And, well, you can do that through radio.
Yeah. We are talking about Big Brothers and Big Sisters here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Sam, you started on this 3 years ago. It's a, you know, it's a minimum of a year-long commitment, it sounds like. What kept you coming back? I mean, you've also relocated since then.
Yeah, I've relocated. We don't see each other as much as we used to. When I was living in West Lafayette, we probably saw each other 2 or 3 times a week for 4 or 5 hours a week, definitely more than the minimum requirement. It was just the relationship was so good, and the way that we built it is just by having that constant communication, that constant time together. Since moving, it has kind of changed it to about a two times a month thing, but it's just seeing him grow, seeing him mature from age 13 to where he is now has been, it's been unbelievable to see, and to have that completion of the process is, I think, what keeps me coming back, just to see where he goes from here. There's every chapter is something that I'm intrigued to see where he can go.
Jaden, when Sam moved down to Indianapolis, take the new job, I mean, you'd mentioned before that you'd had a big brother relationship that lasted for a couple of years, but ended when your big brother moved to Fort Wayne. I mean, what was that like when you found out Sam was moving?
It's kind of sad because I didn't think I'd be able to see him that much. But Fort Wayne is 2.5 hours compared to an hour away, so it made the relationship not die down because we still see each other more often.
And did you guys have a conversation, I'll ask either one of you, about, okay, I'm moving, this is, we want to continue this?
So. Yeah, we definitely had the conversation, and I made the point that it wouldn't really change anything. I mean, it maybe not the face-to-face communication, but we text and call each other multiple times a week. And I mean, like you said, it is very much like a real brother relationship. It's not something that I could just stop doing just because I moved. There's no way I could have just said, okay, we're done with this. We've gone so far in the process. It was something that just naturally continued.
Is this typical, Darcy, of these big brother, big sister relationships where people stay together even after there's been a move or a career change?
Yeah, I think it's not uncommon, but it's certainly, I would recognize and kind of appreciate Sam and Jaden for sticking with it, because that's hard to overcome sometimes with that move. Moving is one of our common reasons for relationships to end on either the volunteer or the child's part. So I think it is to be applauded that they stuck through it and really committed to each other. We do see, though, relationships last beyond things that you would expect. We recently had, we have a big couple program where a couple will actually volunteer as a big to one child. and a big couple had a little sister who was homeless for a period of time, moved out of state for a period of time, then was back in state and in town, and they stuck through with her through all of that, and now they're reunited and on their regular meeting schedule. So those stories really show the quality of volunteers that we have and the great potential that kids like Jaden have, that the volunteers want to stick with it.
We are talking about Big Brothers and Big Sisters here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Darcy Palmer Schultz, who is the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Indiana, Sam Clement, and Jaden Holtzclaw, who are a big brother and a little brother. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about Big Brothers and Big Sisters here on No Limits, and my guests are Darcy Palmer Schultz, CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Indiana, Sam Clement, who's a WFYI reporter, familiar voice to listeners of this station, also a big brother, and Jaden Holtzclaw, Sam's 16-year-old little brother. We've gotten a tweet from a listener named Darren. If you'd like to reach out to us that way, you can find us on Twitter at WFYI. It says, does Big Brothers Big Sisters all eliminate all gay and lesbian adults immediately from consideration? Darcy, I'll throw that one to you.
No, actually, that is not our policy at all. That is not a reason for elimination from our program. We don't discriminate on that in any way. We accept gay and lesbian, big brothers, big sisters, and big couples into our program and would encourage everyone to give us a call.
And again, we're going to give you, there's a reason for you to be here. If you want to give people a way to connect, give them the URL and the phone number one more time.
Oh, sure. It's www.bebig4kids.org. And the phone number is 317-921-2201.
Are there other qualifications, like, you know, will you look for a 75 or 80-year-old big brother or big sister of somebody who's retired, wants to get involved? Is that a profile you'll consider?
Yeah, we really don't have an upper age limit. Our youngest volunteers are 21 years old, and our most experienced volunteer this past year, I think, was 76, if I'm correct, and he and his little brother just graduated from the program after being together for about 10 or 11 years. So there's no real upper age limit. It all just comes down to whether or not you can commit to the requirements and we find the right match for you and really look for a good fit.
And the other thing is, you say graduation. I'm presuming there's an upper age limit for the little brothers and little sisters in the program. At what point do they age out?
Sure. We serve through high school, so that's usually 18 years old for kids when they formally exit the program, although most of our matches that stay together for that long are our family at that point and stay together for much longer than that graduation point.
But it's not formalized and it's not really a big brother, big sister thing. Yeah, Jaden here is already giving Sam some grief offline here about that. So in terms of where things, I mean, Sam, do you see this as a relationship that's going to continue for a lot of years or?
Yeah,
I know Jaden's saying otherwise.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
Jaden talked about education being one of the main factors that I've really worked with him on, and seeing him change his perspective of just going to class every day because it's a thing you do to actually focusing on going to college. I mean, I certainly see myself working with him through college and then hopefully whatever success he has after that. I mean, I'm there to be a voice for him, a sound box where he can shoot ideas off of concerns and, I mean, just have conversations. And no way does that stop after he turns 18.
And are you looking forward to that, Jaden, or dreading it?
I'm looking forward to staying with Sam because he's just been such an impact. I wouldn't want to lose him.
We are talking about Big Brothers and Big Sisters here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Rick, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I think that Big Brothers Big Sisters is a great program, but I think they limit people, Big Brothers coming into the program because they only have one kind of person that they have for Big Brothers, and they really limit people that want to volunteer. I wanted to volunteer a couple years ago, and because I wasn't the perfect vision of what they have, I was rejected. I mean, I have a lot of history with, I'm not exactly what they described as the perfect person. I was rejected on it, but I have no history of criminal history at all. I am an RN, had a lot of time to devote to the kids, but I wasn't accepted for it, and I never could decide why. With a lot of kids that need Big Brother out there, they don't want to accept very many people, I think.
Well, you know, Rick, can I ask a question? And you're under, mm-hmm. I want to emphasize, you're under no obligation to answer this.
Mm-hmm.
Did they give you a reason for the rejection?
Honestly, I told, when they were asked, going through the, I told the truth. I had been beat up pretty bad by my dad, and I thought, I told the truth of when during the interview process because I thought that was something that would help the kids, knowing that they had somebody that could empathize with them, and I think that was what it was is they didn't want somebody that had any experience with that. I think that's what it was did it. They didn't say that, but that's the only thing I could figure. That's the only thing I had. They'd never told me that's what it was, the reason that they rejected me. But otherwise, I have no idea because I have no criminal background. I have, I make fairly good money, but I have no other reason to believe that could, that could be it.
Well, let me see what we can. Well, Darcy and I will talk about it a little bit. Thank you very much for the call, and thank you for sharing your story with us, Rick.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Well, Darcy, are there other triggers besides the criminal one that might cause someone to be rejected, or I think you said there'd also be a delay, so there can be several categories. There's acceptance. It sounds like Sam's process was pretty quick. He applies in July, and he and Jaden are connected in August. Then there's kind of a wait listing period, and then there's outright rejection. We've already talked about criminal records, violent crime is sort of an automatic nope,
mm-hmm.
Save the postage stamp or whatever. You're not going to be considered. What about other triggers that might cause someone to be rejected?
Sure. Well, I certainly don't know Rick or his specific application, but I do want to clarify that we do not, an eligibility criteria for us is not whether or not you were a past victim of abuse yourself. So that wouldn't in and of itself eliminate a volunteer from being accepted into the program. It's always difficult because every single applicant is assessed on an individual basis. So all the factors that come into play can be quite broad. But we look at basically eligibility, which is our basic eligibility requirements, which I've talked a little bit about. But certainly there's more details that we could always share if someone wants to contact our agency. We do look at matchability, so based on your interests, where you're willing to drive to meet your little, and where you're located, how well we can match you with a little brother or little sister. But with all of the kids we have waiting in Marion County, that's usually not a hurdle for us. And then we look at coachability. So one of the things that's really unique about our program is that we have a professional staff member assigned to each big and little to coach and guide and check in on you throughout the course of the relationship. And it's really important to us that everyone is on the same page with us around our organizational values, how we approach youth development, and how we approach mentoring. you know, again, so while I can't speak to any specifics of his circumstance, those are some of the things that might come into play. And it comes down to an individual assessment as to whether or not this is the best fit. And some of that might just be timing. And I know that that can be frustrating.
Is there, if Rick or anyone else who's in that situation wants to find out, I mean, specifically why he or she didn't get accepted, can they call and ask? I mean, is that information that you share with them, that this is the reason we decided not to do it?
It is our agency policy not to disclose specific reasons for non-acceptance, but we would be happy to look at the file and see if it would be a good idea to reapply, because if it was a timing thing, we'd be more than happy to take a look at that and make that recommendation.
Okay. And on the other side, are there littles that you just won't accept into the program? I mean, are there kids who you say, nope, this is just not going to work?
Sure. You know, we really try and serve as many kids as possible because we really believe that mentoring can help all kids. That said, we do know that, you know, there are some youth who have challenges or circumstances that are far beyond what an average adult volunteer is really equipped to handle. So in those circumstances, we do our best to make referrals for the families and kids to have programs that are equipped for those challenges or those needs. And then we also do really value the parents and the caregivers in our match relationships. And so we want to make sure that parents and caregivers are, you know, on board and ready to be team members with our staff and our bigs to help really help their kids grow and learn and stay safe throughout the course of that relationship. So there, you know, again, it's an individual process. We have a similar process for the youth as we do for the volunteers, where there's an application, there's an interview, and we really look at that individually to make sure that this is the best fit. But I think that there's certainly a bigger opening on the kids end that we try and serve as many as possible.
Is there an economic qualifier for either the big or the little?
No, not on either end. People are often surprised to learn it. In Central Indiana, it's about 17% of our families are two-parent households. We serve families in Hamilton, Marion, and Johnson counties of a wide range of economic backgrounds. So that is not in and of itself an eligibility requirement for our program.
We are talking about Big Brothers and Big Sisters here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Sam, in terms of, you know, that a lot of the focus on these programs is on, you know, what the little gets out of it,
right?
You know, the mentoring.
Right.
What does the big get out of it? How has it changed you? Why do you keep coming back?
I think Jaden would be the first to tell you that in our 3 years, there's been a transformation in me. I think you'd say I'm a little more fun than when we first met. Is that fair?
Yeah.
how was, wait a second. I'm going to pursue this line of question. You opened the door here, Sam. Okay. So in what ways do you think Sam has changed since the two of you connected, Jaden?
When we first met, he really didn't want to do anything. Like, he wanted to, like, stick to the main things that we talked about before we, like, when we first met, like, playing basketball. But now we do things that, like, when the Super Bowl was down here, we went to that. Like, we didn't go to the game, but we came to Super Bowl experience.
Yeah, because Sam didn't want to mortgage his house, but that's a whole other story.
I went with Sam when he ran a marathon in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Just things like that. We've expanded.
So it opened up. And Sam, how do you think you've changed?
Yeah, I think Jane's absolutely right. He opened my eyes to experiencing different things. I think with him, it made me want to share experiences with someone. And to do that, we had to go outside of maybe our comfort zone, things that we wouldn't traditionally do. We would, as you said, first we'd play basketball, we'd work on schoolwork, and then that would be it. But as time went on, we realized that we have broader interest, and they weren't necessarily the things that we checked off on the box when we signed up for the program. And so we explored those. And I think through that exploration, him and I have grown kind of together. We've grown individually, and it's been great for both of us.
And what things, are there things that you guys just fundamentally disagree on? How do you work through that stuff?
I think the biggest place where him and I butt heads would be when it comes to his schoolwork. I really think that's still, since day one, it's kind of been the one. He's a good student. He's intelligent. He's very, very bright. But sometimes I have a philosophy of how he should get his work done, and he has a different philosophy. And I think that...
So what is your philosophy? And then I'm going to ask Jaden what his is.
Mine is a little more proactive than his philosophy, I think.
I think you're dancing around the subject. Yeah, tell me exactly what we're talking about here.
I mean, I want him to take a serious look at his education and to make it a priority. And I think sometimes it's a secondary thing for him. So I really emphasize to make that his top priority, going to class every day, being attentive in class every day, participating in class every day. Throughout the years I've worked with his teachers, I've talked to his teachers about how we can make that happen. And so I think that that's still the number one area that him and I work on and maybe have our biggest struggles. But it's definitely made progress, but it's still a work in progress.
And Jaden, how's that going from your perspective?
It's actually going good. I used to just want to do my schoolwork when I felt like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know that I have to do it and it has to be done.
So you're listening to a little bit of what Sam says.
I guess you could say that.
Well, then why do you guys butt? Do you agree that that's the biggest thing that you disagree about, or is there any other area?
That's our biggest.
And I think a lot of that too is just it's a change in his culture. I mean, when we started, it wasn't really an expectation of his school. To him, was he knew it was important, but it was just kind of a talking point because people told him school is important. But to actually do the work and take the time to get the results that we talked about, I think that you have to kind of change the culture around the way he does things. And he's getting used to that. He's taking the time more to get those things done. But it's a process, and it does take time.
We are talking about big brothers and big sisters here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Or you can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. What's the hardest thing about being a big brother, Sam?
I think it's to see him still struggle, and not necessarily in school, but, I mean, we are brothers now. So to see him have a bad day and maybe not to have the answers that a parent would have, or if he comes to me with a question or he's in a situation and I'm not a parent, so I've never really come across how to handle that situation. I think that can sometimes be a hurdle. How do you handle those types of situations? Throughout the years, we've dealt with the passing of his grandparents. We've dealt with not making certain teams, school issues, and those have been places that maybe I would go to my parents and say, what advice would you give me? Or I reflect on the advice that they would give me, and I try to use that with him. And I think, for me, that's been the biggest hurdle of figuring out how to advise him in situations that I've maybe never come across.
Jaden, from your perspective, what's the hardest thing about being a little brother? And is it a two-way street? I mean, does Sam share when he's having a hard time at work or, you know, going through some sort of uncertainty or difficulty in his life? Does he talk with you about that?
Yeah, I try to give him a shoulder to cry on, box of tissues.
It's appreciated.
But the biggest thing to me is I don't get to see Sam as much as I'd like to, considering he moved down here. Like you said, we used to see each other 2-3 times a week. Now it's 2 times a month. It's just changed a lot.
What's it like, you know, I mean, obviously he went through a career change, not a big one, but I mean, he went through a job change when he came here to work at WFYI. Did you know that was coming, or did he talk with you and say, I'm thinking about looking at, you just came and said, I'm changing jobs?
Yeah, he did. The last time we visited before he moved, he told me that he was going to be moving to Indy because he got a new job.
Okay. It was a quick process.
It was a very quick process. Yeah. We are talking about big brothers and big sisters here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. You also can find us on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Darcy Palmer Schultz, who is the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Indiana, Sam Clement, who is a WFYI reporter and a big brother, and his little brother, 16-year-old Jaden Holzclaw. I am John Krall. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about big brothers and big sisters here on No Limits. My guests are Darcy Palmer Schultz, who is the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Indiana, Sam Clement, who is a WFYI reporter and a big brother, and Jaden Holzclaw, who is his 16-year-old little brother. Now, you guys have gotten a lot of attention. You're sort of the poster boys for Big Brothers, Big Sisters here in Central Indiana. You've been nominated for a national award. Can you talk a little bit about that, Sam?
Yeah, we were one of the nominees for Big of the Year. And it's there's a couple steps. And, Darcy, if I miss any of these, please tell me. But we were up the one of 10 for Central Indiana, or for the state of Indiana, I believe. And the winner moves on to a national level, and then those winners go to the White House in D.C. We finished second, so, I mean, we may be the poster boys, but there's...
Are you eligible then for reconsideration down the line?
Or I don't know.
Is it a one-and-done kind of thing?
Yeah, we haven't really looked too much into it. We went through the process, and it was a lot of fun, and, I mean, they always say it's an honor to be nominated. Just to have that kind of recognition is amazing, but, I mean, there's so many deserving groups, and there's so many good big brothers that we've met throughout the process that just to even be in the consideration of that we are that good of a match is unbelievable. And I think that speaks highly, too, of the Big Brothers Big Sisters process to match two individuals that have connected so well the way Jade and I have. I think it's excellent.
Well, this is, how often are the connections tight? I mean, obviously the fact that mm-hmm. that Sam and Jaden have been nominated for a national award would indicate this is an exceptional one.
Yeah.
But, you know, of the pairings that you have, how often does it work where it does last for more than a year? I mean, what's mm-hmm. the success rate, Darcy?
Yeah, we have over 70% of our bigs and littles are lasting beyond that year point, which is really great, especially in comparison with the national statistics on that rate. We're really pleased by that. But you know, I think one of the things that our program is known for is the matching process, that it's not taking the first name off of each side of the list and pairing them together. It's really thoughtful about finding a good fit. Based on interests, based on backgrounds, based on whatever might be a really relevant factor in helping form a good bond.
What's the process if there's a mistake? Like, you know, someone who is in Jaden's position says, you know, mm-hmm. we're just, or the big says, you know, we're really not just connecting. We're still interested.
Right.
Still interested in the program, but this match just doesn't seem to be working.
Right. And so that's one of the things that's really important about the staff support that we provide to every match, because we are able to check in on that throughout the course of that relationship. And both parties and the parents actually have the opportunity to let us know that. And we want these relationships to be as strong as possible for always assessing for that. And if there is a time where it really just isn't going to be a relationship that works, we do our best to always find another big brother or big sister for the child, based on, you know, a match that we think will work. So unfortunately, it took us a couple of rounds with Jaden, it sounds like, but it worked in the end. And I think that what we call rematching, but we do our best to find the right big, and we're committed to the families that we enroll in our program and really try and make sure that we have the right fit all around.
In part, because we've had Sam and Jaden here with us, we focused mostly on the big brother relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, is the process similar for big sisters? Is there as much of a demand there? And I guess the other question I'd ask is, do you occasionally pair a big brother with a little sister, or vice versa?
Mm-hmm. There certainly is a demand for big sisters as well. We actually have many more female volunteer applicants coming to us than male applicants, so we tend to match girls more quickly. So when girls are waiting, we're able to get them paired up pretty quickly and into the program. I think about 60% of the matches we served last year were actually female matches. However, 70% of the youth waiting are boys. And so
70%, you said 600,000 people.
600 youth in central Indiana.
Oh, 600, not 600,000.
Yes, okay. In just this community. Yeah.
Okay, 600, all right. I was wondering how the math worked on that, because I thought that's an epidemic. It's a disaster. So 600, so that means, if I do my math right, about 420 of them are young men.
Right. Yes,
Jaden was impressed. I actually have math.
I know. I'm like, I'm hoping you're right, because I'm going to say yes. I can't do it that quickly. But yeah, we have most of the kids waiting are boys. And so we do work a lot harder to try and recruit male volunteers to be big brothers. And when we are able to recruit a big couple as part of our program, we traditionally match them with boys as well to try and move those kids through the program and get them paired up.
Are there any gender differences in the process if you know, Sam were a female and had applied? Are there things that you do, Jaden? Calm down. between a man and a woman who apply, are the processes identical, or are there gender differences in terms of the training and all of that?
The enrollment and training process is really the same for both. I would say once paired up. Because we do provide that individualized staff support, there may be some nuances in between men and women in terms of how they're supported by staff, what their needs might be over time, and all of those things. But the process stays the same throughout. One of the really interesting things we learned as we were working on increasing our retention rates is that our female matches were actually lasting shorter than our male matches. Even though we had a harder time getting the men, we kept them better once we got them started. So,
were you able to analyze why that might have
been? We were, actually. We were able to partner with Cummins, and we did a Six Sigma project on that that showed us a few things. And one of the things that we learned was that we really needed to be more thoughtful about how we engaged mothers in the relationships with their big sisters and daughters. So we've been able to host a series of activities where the three were able to spend time together and really forge a stronger bond. Started to improve our retention rates.
It was about
pretty dramatically
how the big sister sort of worked in the whole mother-daughter relationship. I could see how that would be tricky.
That would be an example of how there are some gender differences, and we do look at those carefully because we want to make sure all relationships last as long as possible. And that was one we were able to diagnose and really put some steps in place in improving our support that we were providing.
We are talking about big brothers and big sisters here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Art, welcome to the program.
Greetings. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, I've had a lot of resonance from the following idea. I've talked to both high school kids, college high school graduates, and junior high school kids about how if they had had a chance to maybe do a little bit of mentoring with maybe kids 3 or 4 years younger than they, and also perhaps ease into that by starting off doing tutoring, that in the process of all that, that would really have enhanced their organizational skills, presentation skills, probably stimulate their brain development and their maturation process earlier on, and would get everybody on the same wavelength. And as more and more kids tried to teach someone else younger than they or give them pointers, they would have to be a little bit more serious and thoughtful. And in the process, it would be all of a sudden, instead of a we versus they, students versus teachers, it would be an us phenomenon, and it could be a real game changer. What do you think of that?
Well, thanks very much for the call and the question. We'll see if we can get you an answer, Art. And I'm actually going to take the liberty here of reframing it just a little bit and just say, like, this has been a successful pairing with Sam and Jaden. Is there any thought, or is there a way, when Jaden goes off to college, that he and Sam, in effect, become a package deal for yet another little? A kind of intermediate process, which I think speaks to what Art was talking about, Darcy.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things we are definitely always looking at as an organization is how might we continue to adapt and evolve so that we give people more opportunities to volunteer with us and more ways that it becomes a natural part of life. And one of the things I know our organization is actually looking at right now is how we define big couple, and could it be big and little with another little? Could it be two sisters who spend time with one child together? How could we define that in a different way that really opens up the doors and allows more people to get involved? I don't have answers for what we're going to do with that yet, because we're always looking at making sure, again, that we can keep the quality factors of a relationship in place. But we are definitely exploring that because we want more people to get involved in our program.
Has the mission changed, or you know, the sort of the definition or the way that you approach, you know, over the recent, well, the past few decades, when the whole notion of family itself has evolved to a different, you know, we have more single parent families, we have more non-traditional families. How did Big Brothers and Big Sisters adapt to those social changes, large-scale social changes?
Mm-hmm. The thing that I love most about Big Brothers, Big Sisters and our mission is that it is intuitively relevant and enduring. Mm-hmm. I think positive, caring, supportive relationships between people will always be for the better. And so in that way, I think our mission holds true and has been a real strength of our program. That said, I mean, I think we're always adjusting to the changes in our community and in our environment. What tends to be more surprising, actually, is that those who need mentoring tend to be broadening more than in terms of how we're thinking about it. You know, it's not only kids who suffer economically or come from one-parent households or mm-hmm. are struggling with school. Bullying is a big factor mm-hmm. that we're dealing with more and more and more. High school graduation rate is, you know, always a priority, but is definitely at top of mind in our program and in our community right now. And I think that in those ways, we're constantly adapting and making sure that we're providing special learning opportunities for our bigs and littles, or ways for them to build their relationship in a more intentional way. But the pure core of what we do remains relevant and strong, and that is what I think really sets us up for success.
Jaden, if you know, flash forward 5 years and you're 21 and eligible, it sounds like that's the minimum age requirement to be a big. Would you be a Big Brother at that point? And if so, why?
Yeah, because the impact he's had on me, I would want to give that to a kid. I would want them to experience what I've experienced in this program.
And if you could sum up, what have you gotten out of being in this program?
I've gotten, like, how to better myself as a human being. My mom, she's a single parent, and I've learned how to respect her more, how to respect my brother, my family, just in school, the important things in life.
We are talking about Big Brothers and Big Sisters here on No Limits. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
I've been a Big Brother for about 4 years coming up now, so I thought I saw the tweet that you guys were on. I thought I'd just call in and say hi. So congratulations, Sam and Jaden, for being runners-up. That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Jen, can I say one thing, too,
sure.
Kind of on the previous
very
caller?
Thanks very much for the call, Greg.
Jaden talked about, you know, wanting to be a Big Brother when he gets older, too, and I think in a different way, too. This is good training, as I said. I'm not a parent, but this is good training for people my age, you know, mid to late 20s. That have a little brother, to have just the experience of working with a kid. I mean, it's good. It's parent in training almost. And I think that is one of the big things. I think maybe 10, 15 years down the road, when I have kids, I'll look back on this and say, this was a great, you know, rough draft, to be able to have that experience and be able to work through situations like this. And it'll make that experience a lot more doable.
What, when you started with this, what mistakes did you make that you wouldn't do again if you...
I think there was probably a time when I had high expectations of him. I still do, from the very beginning, that he could do whatever he wants and still will. But I think maybe I pushed that process too quick, that my expectations of him were based on where I thought he should go with a certain time frame. And he had a different time frame for that. And I had to adjust setting those expectations, working with him through that process. And he didn't go as fast as I probably wanted him to, but once we figured out the speed, it started to go a lot smoother.
Yeah,
and
that is a sort of a basic parenting.
Yeah. There you go.
Realization, yeah. A lesson, and there comes a point when you realize your children are not really projections of what you want. They're almost like real people themselves. They have their own desires and their own needs and their own plans for their lives.
Jaden, what mistakes do you think you made at the beginning? You know, because it's a relationship. We tend to think of the big driving it, but from what I'm hearing out of this conversation, if both sides don't work at it, it isn't going to work. It's just that simple. So what things do you think you could have done differently?
When I first met Sam, I saw how far I could push him, like, see if I could get him to, like, explode or get mad so I could know his limits.
Were you able to do that?
No.
Okay. So you tested him?
Yeah.
At the beginning. Okay. How long did that process go on? I mean, at what point did you begin to start trusting him?
About after the second time we met, I realized that he actually cared and he wanted to make an impact on me.
And how did you... What convinced you of that?
Just seeing how much he always asked me if I needed anything. He was always there when I needed him. It made me realize it.
And always there, meaning that he responded to your calls, your texts?
Like, when my grandpa passed away, I didn't have to tell him or anything. He called.
Oh.
He asked me if I needed anything.
Okay. Well, Darcy, I want to talk. We're getting a little bit close on the time here. If people do, if they're unsure about whether they want to get involved, they think they have some interest, but they're wondering about the time commitment and all of that, what's the best way for someone to get started on either end of this? We'll start with, say, the mentor, the big. If you want to be a big, what's the process, best way to start that process?
Sure. I would encourage anyone who's even considering whether or not this might be the best fit for you to go to our website or call us. So go to www.bebig4kids.org or call 317-921-2201 and fill out the initial inquiry. That doesn't commit you for life. That just says you're interested in learning more. And then we have an amazing team of staff members who will talk you through. It's a multi-step process, but that gives you a variety of layers to learn more and really assess if this is the right fit for you. So just, it's a good time of year to kind of think about doing something new, to think about how you want to live in 2014. We'd encourage you just to call and start the conversation with us, because we can help you assess if it's a good fit, and then ultimately get you onto a path where you're certain to learn and give in the process.
And real quickly, if you're a little or you're a family that might be interested in being part of the program, how do you go about doing that?
Sure. We also have an online inquiry and a way to register by phone. So it would be the same, www.bebig4kids.org or 317-921-2201. To contact us and fill out the initial information just to get started. And we have, again, multiple steps to talk through, learn more about you and what you're looking for, and assess what you'll need in a big for your child. So please contact us so that we can learn more.
That'll have to be the last word. Darcy Palmer-Schultz, Sam Clement, and Jaden Holdsclaw, thank you very much for joining us. I'd like to also thank our audience. Wish you all a happy new year. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.